to the Twin Cities area here, and Northern Anoka County, an ex-urban type area, being paired with places like St. Paul Park and Newport that are very highly developed old communities that have been around for well over 100 years versus communities that in many cases are just starting out. I think Ramsey is one of the newest communities in the state of Minnesota. We have the city of Ramsey, I believe the newest community in Minnesota, paired with Stillwater and some of the oldest communities in the state of Minnesota. I look at the district that Edina is in right now, your fifth district, and I see very little in common between Edina and North Minneapolis. I think that there just isn't that much of a community of interest there. Or if I look at your fourth district underneath the plan you're proposing, a place like North Oaks and Frogtown, our area down here by the Capitol, there's just very little in common between those areas. And I think that whoever would be elected as the congressperson there would not be able to do as good a job representing their constituents in Washington, D.C., because of the variety of interests they have, as those same congresspersons would be underneath the plan Representative Seifert brought forward. When I look at the changes in population that have taken place in our state, I think everyone has recognized that we've had a tremendous amount of growth in the suburbs, that's where most of the growth in the state has been. And yet we find in the plan, Representative Mariani, that you're putting forward, that we really only have two suburban districts. The third district that you have, which is a very strangely shaped district, and the sixth district. And so you've got a situation where while 45% of the state population is suburban, only 25% of the congresspersons are going to be representing districts that are truly suburban. Almost 2-to-1 variance. And it just seems to me that when you look at what's happening with population, we should have a situation where the suburbs have a relatively proportional representation in Washington, D.C., with congresspersons to the weight of population they have in the state. And finally, I guess I would just mention the whole issue of compactness. The third district is a very strangely shaped district. Two large, somewhat compact areas connected by a very small isthmus. Sort of looks like North and South America, and looks like the Minnesota River sort of serves as the Panama Canal separating the two underneath this particular plan. And, there's no sort of compactness at all to a district like that. And I would note that statistically, the plan that you are representing, bringing forth versus Representative Seifert's is considerably less compact underneath all these statistical standards. If you look at the Roque test, ours is a 0.44, yours is a 0.42. If you look at the Polsby-Popper and other statistical tests that's often used, ours is a 0.36. Representative Seifert's, that is, the plan you're bringing forth is a 0.32. And so from the standpoint of meeting compactness, which is a principle that is in both the Senate and the House redistricting principles as a goal, it would seem that the plan brought forth by Representative Seifert in that area would be a superior plan. And so I appreciate the obvious work that you've done on this plan, Representative Mariani, but I guess I don't really feel it fits the principles brought forth in either the Senate or the House that have passed.
Representative Mariani.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Knobloch, and I appreciate the fact that you appreciate my plan. As I mentioned earlier, the third congressional district is shaped the way it is for primarily two reasons, and that is, one is that we wanted to avoid a pairing between Congressman Ramstedt and Kennedy. In fact, my plan avoids pairings completely, whereas your plan pairs two incumbents. And the second reason it's shaped the way it is because there is a heck of a lot in common between those second and third ring suburban districts that are brand new districts in many areas, are growing very rapidly, have brand new infrastructure, are very much automobile dependent, tend to be upper income communities with far lower percentages of low income communities within them, as opposed to their cousins in the first ring suburbs, which increasingly are looking just like Minneapolis and St. Paul. And, you know, it's one thing to compare Edina to North Minneapolis, but, you know, there's only a street that separates the city of Edina from Minneapolis. And when you cross over it, you're basically pretty much still in the same neighborhood. And it's a wonderful neighborhood, by the way. I've done some shopping down in there. And so, you know, just the one very small note on the issue of compactness, and you raised the issue of compactness here in terms of these exotic measurements that we use for compactness. I would note that under your plan, the 4th Congressional District, your 4th Congressional District would be over twice the size of the 4th Congressional District under my plan, which is closer in size to the current 4th Congressional District. It's a minor point, but you raised the issue of compactness. And once again, members, you know, my interest here was trying to keep, you know, a good balance between rural Minnesota and our metro area, recognizing, and we obviously, you know, disagree on this, but as a resident of the metro area, I can tell you that I know there's a huge difference between the second and third ring suburbs and the first ring suburbs in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I can also tell you that there's a huge difference between Minneapolis and St. Paul. And so those are the principles under which I offer this plan, as well as the principle of trying to create two large opportunities for communities of color, as opposed to limiting communities of color to being influential in only one congressional district.
Representative Abrams.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know, thank you, Representative Mariani, for bringing forward an alternative. I don't know if this was the Senate DFL congressional plan, or if you sat down at the workstation. I know if you did it, you had to spend a lot of time and a lot of thought in doing it. But, you know, I just prefer the plan that Representative Paulson came up to your plan. You know, some things you don't know about some of the suburbs, Representative Mariani, is that in my neck of the woods, the Hopkins School District includes not only the city of Minnetonka and the city of Hopkins, but the city of Golden Valley clear up to the border. And the St. Louis Park School District shares more in common, and the Edina School District certainly share more in common with funding and that sort of, and those sorts of educational issues with the 3rd Congressional District than with the 5th Congressional District. And education is a big issue these days in Congress. President Bush has been pushing a plan. President Clinton before him had some ideas. But as you get more involved in these issues, I think that school districts are very important in this. Secondly, I do share Representative Knobloch's concern about compactness. You know, compactness and neatness is in the eye of the beholder, and I do think that the 3rd District is somewhat unusual in the plan, but also the 6th District, Representative Mariani, is a little bit unusual in the plan, in that you meander down into Robbinsdale and New Hope and Crystal for the 6th District, passing over the appears to me to be the north part of Brooklyn Park and maybe even Champlin, if one were interested in compactness. I do think I have to make up, but I also have to bring up the other point, which is, as opposed to legislative districts in which there's a constitutional requirement that you live in the state for a certain amount of time and live in the district a certain amount of time, there is no limitation upon Congress people. And you know, I'm not going to bring up any circumstances, because there are circumstances, quite frankly, on both sides in which the congressmen and women who have represented Minnesota have not lived in their congressional district. So I think that appearing is far less important, Mr. Chairman, in a congressional plan than it is in a legislative plan. So, you know, when I look at the map, I certainly appreciate the effort. I certainly appreciate some of the things you said. I would point out that there is a street in a lot of areas that separate Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's not just a river, particularly northeast where everything swings, as mm-hmm. Steve Cannon used to say. When I take a look at the plans and the compactness in particular, I'm going to have to vote against your amendment, but I certainly would like to work with you as we go forward, Representative Mariani, to see if we can somehow reach a compromise, if not during this legislative session, certainly during the summer.
I have Representative Mariani, Riffenberg, and Gray. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Abrams, and I appreciate that offer, and hopefully I'll be able to take you up on that as time goes by. I would just say very quickly, I didn't mention that one of the things that happens on the Seifert congressional plan is that it does violence to the city of Minneapolis. In order to make the congressional district work with the population numbers, you're compelled to carve out either a portion of Minneapolis or St. Paul to make that happen. In other words, there's simply too many people in both cities to constitute a congressional district. And so the Seifert plan cuts off huge chunks of southwestern part of Minneapolis. Representative Abrams, I appreciate your comments about the school districts. I think that those are issues that we have to pay very close attention to. I can tell you that I, for the past few years, have had some communication with school districts like St. Louis Park, Golden Valley, Hopkins. And I could tell you that because of what's happening in terms of the diversity in terms of income, in terms of race, in terms of language, that those school districts have become much more interested and attuned to the categorical aids that we appropriate here, which historically have tended to benefit large urban centers. I also would point out that those districts currently constitute, including Edina, constitute the West Metro Education Partnership, which is a very commendable voluntary effort on the part of the western inner ring suburbs to find a voluntary solution to integration, given the fact that Minneapolis has a huge, I think over 70% student of color community, and therefore being very concerned with the social implications of racial and language isolation, those communities have entered into a voluntary effort to recruit students from Minneapolis. Some of them have even built new schools to that effect. I know that the city of Edina, or at least the superintendent of Edina, waged a very, sometimes lonely, but courageous battle for having one of those integration schools built in Edina. And so clearly those school districts are seeing very strong community of interests with Minneapolis. There's a lot of coordinating that's going on. There is a downtown school in Minneapolis, which those school districts participate. They're sending their kids into Minneapolis for that purpose. The East Metro has a similar scenario with the East Metro Integration District, also voluntarily having been formed. And they're currently looking to finish one integration school. They have a lot of voluntary programs where they're children travel into St. Paul and St. Paul children travel out. So clearly the individuals that work and lead those school districts in St. Paul and its immediately surrounding suburban communities see a strong community of interest in terms of the goal of breaking down social isolation. And I think that the congressional plan, I mentioned this at the last hearing that Representative Seifert has, only encourages isolation and segregation from inner ring or urban center communities from their immediate suburban communities. And I think good public policy can best be pursued by having congressional representatives as well as legislative representatives who have a foot in each reality, if you will. I think that that kind of balance can result in very good public policy in Congress as well as here in St. Paul, and my plan really creates the opportunity to do that.
Mr. Chairman, on that
Representative
point.
Abrams, on that point.
Mr. Chairman, it may be called the Hopkins School District, but a very large portion of the Hopkins School District is in the city of Minnetonka, as well as a slight piece of the city of Plymouth. The Robbinsdale School District may be called the Robbinsdale School District, but they also have a very large chunk of Plymouth, and I think a part of Maple Grove. I may be wrong on that. But the Wayzata School District is also part of WEMAP, and they have voluntarily, quite frankly, at the urging of myself and a number of other community leaders in the area, have voluntarily taken part in WEMAP. We were able to get some funding this year in the House K through 12 bill. They had been paying for it currently without any state assistance, but the Wayzata School District literally goes from Medina and Independence, you know, clear to the border of Plymouth. So what this plan does in the education areas is it does continue the split of the Hopkins School District, which may or may not be what you intended. It continues a split of the Robbinsdale School District. As a matter of fact, I think the Robbinsdale School District will now be in three congressional districts. So on that issue, I think that, you know, there might be a little bit more work that needs to be done, Representative Mariani.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Abrams, that may well be the case. I think the principle still stands, however, which is that this map attempts to find commonality with the inner ring suburbs and with Minneapolis in this instance. And obviously, you know, population numbers will be a check to how much we can do that. But I certainly accept your challenge in the spirit of continuing to work on this, Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman.
To that point, Representative Boudreau.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, to the point of principles, Representative Mariani, could you tell me which set of principles you followed with this map? Was it the Senate principles or the House principles?
Representative Mariani.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Representative Boudreau, if you could
Mr. Chairman, and to the point of principles that was just mentioned, Representative Mariani, I'm not sure if you told us what set of principles you followed. Was it the Senate or the House principles when you designed or when this map was drawn?
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, Representative Boudreau, we don't have any principles to guide us. So we just, I explained the goals I attempted to do here with the rural and the metro and the, you know, the outer ring suburbs, the inner ring suburbs, the commonality between Minneapolis and its surrounding communities, St. Paul and its surrounding communities, as well as an attempt to avoid incumbent pairing, which of course we don't have as a principle, but the Senate does. Mr. Chair, Representative Boudreau, the honest answer is I don't have any principles to apply other than the ones that I just indicated to you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Boudreau. And to Representative Mariani, to your comment about the commonalities in the 3rd District, I'm just wondering what the commonalities with Eureka Township, Castle Rock, and Vermilion, as well as some of those other rural farming communities, has with Plymouth and Maple Grove and Minnetonka. It's very different area, and because of the shape of that district, you know, I'm not sure I understand that shape, but they really do not have things in common with each other from the south to the north, and I guess I just wanted to clarify that.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Boudreau, as I said earlier, my primary concern with the 3rd District was recognizing a commonality between the 2nd and 3rd ring suburbs, which constitute the bulk of that 3rd District. Obviously, at some point, you go far enough out into the metro area, you're going to start running into the rural communities. And so the population, you know, the need to have a zero deviation because it's a congressional map is going to, you know, take in those kind of communities. But the primary overall concern was to create a district that reflected the community of interest that second and third ring suburbs constitute in the metro area.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know I'm out of turn because others are waiting, but to this point again, we did have testimony from some of the mayors. In fact, we are splitting up some of the cities that the mayors, who are the elected officials, regardless of what political party they represent, they are the elected officials, and they did come and speak to us. In fact, Maplewood, New Hope, Eagan, Columbia Heights, they're all being split under this map, and I don't understand about commonalities and you know, how that plays into that explanation under this proposal. So I just wanted to mention that that really does contrast the testimony that we had received and the requests that have been made for us before us.
And the mayor of Eagan would probably say that violence is being done to Eagan after she testified in opposition of being put in with St. Paul. I mean, based on your proposal, Representative Mariani. Representative Riffenberg and then Gray. Representative Riffenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of my comments have been made already, but I think they're important to reiterate because they bring out some important points. Representative Boudreau had just mentioned about the testimony we had last week from the mayors and city council people from the inner ring suburbs, that they are the local government officials and that they did testify in support of the Seifert plan. So I think that is a very important point that we cannot stress enough. The second one is the point Representative Knobloch brought up earlier, and that's when you're looking at the population shifts, which is the demographic realities of the state, and the need to have districts that reflect those demographics and to have like the third suburban seat that we have in the Seifert plan versus this plan. Then my final comment is I'm looking at the boundary lines in some of the rural districts, and I'm looking at the line between the 2nd and the 7th district where you have the natural boundary of the Minnesota River, and I'm just wondering why Lockheed Parl County is in the 2nd versus Swifter. What thinking or ideas went into drawing the line where the line is drawn there in that area?
Is that a question of Representative Mariani?
Yes, I'm sorry, Representative Mariani. That is a question I'd appreciate.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Riffenberg, the attempt there was to try to split less of Lackawanna Parr County as opposed to Swift County.
Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Tingelstadt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know there was a comment earlier.
Sorry, I apologize. Representative Gray is next on us, then Tinglestad, then Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought I was losing.
Hasn't been much sleep the last few
years. Yeah, I thought I was losing weight maybe where you couldn't see me over here. That'd be the nice thing. First of all, I'm happy to hear Representative Abrams in his offer to continue to work on this process so that maybe we can come together on a map that we would all agree upon, as opposed to, again, this idea that there's a DFL way and there's a Republican way. I think there's a way that the House could come together if given the time and the inclination of the parties. Beyond that, we've talked a lot about, you know, the commonality of interest, communities of interest, those types of things. And it was mentioned, you know, what does North Minneapolis and Edina have in common, yet using certainly the, I believe it's the Knobloch, where do they shop and eat criteria for communities of interest, there are people in Edina who often come downtown Minneapolis and eat. And I know a lot of folks in North Minneapolis who go out to Southdale and shop out in Southdale. So, and based upon that other criteria of, what is it, commonality of communication. I believe the Star and Tribune still goes to Edina as well as North Minneapolis, as does the radio signals and the TV signals. I think they broadcast throughout the region and are not shielded by city lines. Beyond that, there was a question about the testimony of some of the mayors a week or so ago. And again, if we're going to start talking testimony, I think it's important that we realize that there's resolutions in both Minneapolis and St. Paul. The resolution in Minneapolis, to be specific, has only passed the Intergovernmental Relations Committee. It will be voted upon by the full council on Friday. It passed unanimously, 6-0 from the committee, and I'm confident will pass and receive the appropriate signatures, and I will make that available. However, both, I believe, Ramsey County and the City of St. Paul have also passed resolutions where they put on record the fact that they don't think it's a good idea to join these two communities together. I was going to talk a little bit about some of the school aspects, but Representative Abrams and Representative Mariani already touched upon that. But certainly in light of issues like the NAACP settlement on desegregation that took place, there's more and more students from Minneapolis who will be attending schools in some of the first-ring suburbs in particular. So certainly if there's this aspect of a community of interest with regard to schools and school districts, I think that needs to be factored in. There's a lot in common between those inner-ring suburbs in particular and Minneapolis and St. Paul. You know, finally, you know, again, we talk a lot about doing things for communities of color in particular, and you know, which one of these plans is best for communities of color. And unfortunately, we did not have a plan available that we could actually put in front of communities of color and say, do you like it or don't you like it? That we did consistently. And certainly if you were to talk to those organizations that have historically represented communities of color, whether it's the NAACP, in my case, certainly with African Americans, NAACP, Minneapolis Urban League, groups like the Urban Coalition, which have which transcend just racial interests, I think overwhelmingly, and there'll be letters to this effect later on too, they do not support this idea of joining Minneapolis and St. Paul. So, you know, it's kind of nice to be paternalistic and tell folks what is in their interests. And I know we did have hearings on this, but again, I would reiterate the fact that I don't think those hearings were very broad. And even those hearings that we did have from those impacted agencies like the NAACP, the testimony from the person from St. Paul as well as Matt Little, they're opposed to this idea. So I think we need to set that issue aside unless we can bring some more conclusive evidence in what I've seen that those communities are actually interested, more interested in joining together as a single district as opposed to continuing with a rather lengthy historical pattern of having the 5th District include Minneapolis and the 4th District include St. Paul.
Well, Representative Gray, I mean, we did have testimony from some folks who supported the concept of putting Minneapolis-St. Paul together. I know there's some who opposed as well, but I mean, Rick Aguilar, who was here twice, he did say, quote, will we answer the challenge? Yes, if given the opportunity. Would having St. Paul and Minneapolis being seen as one Hispanic community give us that opportunity? Yes. We will present Hispanic candidates, and we will one day see a very, very politically involved community. Leanne Herr, from the Executive Director of the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans, testified. She said, that would be wonderful, and that is something I've heard the community talking about. And if that could happen, the community would love it. So there is some testimony supporting that, Representative Gray, and I think you need to acknowledge that as well. I know there are those who are opposed, Minneapolis City Council, as you referenced, but there is support. Representative Gray.
Mr. Chairman, I would not deny that there are individuals who like this plan. Again, but I think when you look at the organizations that have traditionally been involved with most of these communities, many of whom we did not really have plans available to show them. Even in talking with, you know, Matt Little and others, people who have been more involved in the governmental process and tend to try and keep more aware of what's taking place, many of them didn't know the numbers, didn't know how many, what the percentage would be in Minneapolis versus St. Paul, didn't know some of the history with regard to specific communities. Again, it goes back to the issue of process that I talked about earlier. If we were where we're at now a couple weeks ago and we were able to show someone a specific map and give them a list of the criteria in terms of the racial balance between those, you know, then maybe you would have some powerful testimony. In most cases, as you know, Representative Mariani, when he was talking to one of the members testifying last week, once they were given the full story and you say, would you rather have influence in two instead of one, most of them say, yeah, I'd rather have influence in two.
And they were asked if they would rather have influence in the two that exist now, which is irrelevant because those plans are mute.
Well, again, without being without being presented with those types of facts, without being presented with the full information, I think you have to wonder how valid the testimony actually is. And again, who was there testifying? I mean, we look at last week, was there anybody who wasn't a Republican wannabe office holder, whatever, involved in the testimony? I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm not trying to
Mr. Chair,
to tell you anything you don't already know. Right. The vast majority of the people who testified were Republicans, and that's on the record.
Well, and Representative Gray, I mean, Rick Aguilar, as you know, is a lifelong Latino resident of St. Paul. He's worked in the Latino community for many years. He's a knowledgeable source of information. He's entitled to his opinion regardless of his political party preference.
Mr. Chairman, I don't doubt that. All I'm saying is that was there a biased perspective that was offered in the testimony? And I say yes, there was. We didn't get a balance.
I doubt that, Representative Gray, that there was a difference of opinion from Matt Little. But Ricardo Vallejos is the president and CEO of the International Ethnic Communications. Broad and extensive background in the Minnesota Latino community. He's never been identified as a DFL, GOP, or independent.
And he's also the one who said two would be better than one.
Of the existing districts, correct, which are mute. His knowledge of the Hispanic community is sought by such companies like 3M and other large corporations like Target. And Mr. Frank Taylor is a retired teacher who has actually run for Congress. And has attempted unsuccessfully to forge a winning coalition among minority and white voters. And he has more experience running for congressional office as any African-American candidate has ever had.
Mr. Chairman, can you really say that with a straight face?
Has ever had.
I've known Frank Taylor for...
Representative Gray, just let me finish my statement, please. He has more experience running for congressional office as much as any other DFL candidate of color for Congress, for that matter, of which there have been none in recent history. And in spite of what you or other DFLers may say, he is entitled to his opinion, even if he is a black Republican. And so I would say, why is the testimony of Mr. Aguilar, Mr. Vallejos, Mr. Taylor, any less relevant than the testimony of Matt Little, who has long been involved in DFL politics as a national committee member and as an aide and consultant to Congressman Sable?
Mr. Chairman, I have never said that their testimony is less relevant or should not be included, or that these people are not credible, although Frank Taylor, I we could have a long conversation on that, but we'll do that off the record.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Boudreau.
Mr. Chairman, to this point, was anyone refused the opportunity to testify regardless of what their political position was? Could you answer that? Was anyone refused the opportunity to testify of a DFL party?
No.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the comment that was made in regard to the mayors that testified from Maplewood, New Hope, Eagan, Columbia Heights, I'm not sure if they were all Republican or not, regardless of that point, they do represent their communities. They were elected by those communities. And if that's biased, then why were all of those cities chopped up? Why were they all cut in half when they were asked not to do that?
They're not.
They're all, they all have a split.
No, they're not. Egan's the only one that's got a split. Look at the map.
Egan's split in half. Maple, Maplewood is split.
No, it's not.
No.
No, Maplewood is in Ramsey County.
How about New Hope and Columbia Heights? I looked at them. They look split to me.
No, they're not.
Nope.
Well, they certainly are not combined with the similar suburbs that those mayors asked to be combined with. And, you know, is that partisan?
Mr. Chairman?
You know, we can go both ways on that, so I guess this is kind of getting us nowhere.
Mr. Chairman?
We can conclude, Representative Gray. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'd be more than happy to vote. Again, as I talked about this earlier, there's a lot of ways of excluding people. One is how much notice people get. Another one is what time the meetings are. Another one is, you know, who's calling them. You know, there's numerous ways of excluding people from access to this process. And I don't think it would be any surprise to any of you that if you were to have the committee hearing in North Minneapolis, you would get different testimony than when you have it at the state capitol. When we went out to those communities out state, we made it at an appropriate time where folks could come testify, not just elected officials, but actually residents and people who are interested. That has not always been the case. And again, I'm not pointing I said in the very beginning, I'm not trying to point fingers and say any one person did anything wrong. I'm saying that this process needs to be looked at and reevaluated and decide whether or not there's a better way of doing it. And I think that the way we've done this process is such that we too much of it has happened at the very end when people cannot review it. Not enough people were able to participate either because of the way the hearings were put together, the notice that was given, or the time. And the fact is that when we looked at the testimony a week ago, the vast majority of folks were Republicans. That's just on the record. That's not saying that those Republican folks who testified on behalf of the Republican plan should not be listened to. I'm just saying that the other side of the story was not adequately made available, and I don't think there's going to be time, frankly, for more people to actually come and comment on the plans that we've done. I look forward to working with Representative Abrams on looking at both these plans and picking out what's best in these plans and moving forward. I hope that's the road that we take. Unfortunately, what I hear a lot of times from members on the other side of the aisle is that we're not going to negotiate in good faith. We're going to rely on the courts to decide what happens with regard to these plans. And I think that would be a dereliction of what we're supposed to be doing here as representatives. I hope we continue to move this process forward. And again, I'm not trying to focus on any one person and say they did something bad or did something good. I'm trying to focus on this process and see how we can make it better.
Mr. Chairman. I have Representative Tingelstad, Seifert, and then Mariani. And Representative Gray, I'll just also say that there was an invitation extended to 60 different individuals at one point to arrange a meeting. When I talked to you on the floor about having testimony at one of the hearings for communities of color, and 60 letters went out, and there was only one response. Lester Collins was the only one, and you said that, you know, you said, oh, well, he's the same person I talked to anyways, if you're talking to Lester, so that's no big deal. So, I mean, the extension for invitations were there. So there's been no attempt, I mean, there's certainly been no shielding of the process, Representative Gray, so just want to make that clear. Representative Tingelstad and then Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and actually my comment is just a follow-up for something we talked about a half an hour ago, so it's probably an old comment, but to follow up on Representative Abrams, and he was talking about the pairings, and Representative Mariani was saying with the pairings in our congressional plan, the 1-1 plan, with Congresswoman Betty McCollum and Congressman Bill Luther. You know, I don't really see that as a true pairing because of how the 4th and 6th congressional districts are. I think it totally makes sense for Congressman Luther to run in the 6th district, most of which he's already represented in Congress, and in regards to Congresswoman McCollum in the 4th District, you know, being from North St. Paul and also growing up in South St. Paul, where I grew up alongside McCollum, you know, those two communities are both in the 4th Congressional District. So, you know, certainly there are some nice advantages there with her representing that 4th Congressional District area. So as far as the point of pairings in one version of the congressional map versus the other, I really see that as a moot point, since it's not a true pairing of the 4th and 6th.
Representative Seifert.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as author of the original plan, I have to take offense at some of the things that were said. Number one was, if we only had a couple weeks to review this, we'd have testimony, etc. My plan was public on April 23rd, which was over 3 weeks ago. Between that time and now, we had a public hearing that was posted on the internet, posted on the traditional legislative websites, announced in public, announced on the floor, announced everywhere that any legislative thing is done. The chair sought input from the minority. Do you have any folks who are interested in this? We had people come in, we had mayors come in, we had other folks come in and testify. The only plan that has been brought forward that has not had public scrutiny is the amendment before us. It just got posted. It's the first time I've ever seen it. So when you talk about not having enough time for scrutiny and public input, look in the mirror. Nobody has seen this map until now. So my plan was out over 3 weeks ago. We had a public hearing on it. It was posted, etc. The chairman was generous enough, unlike the Senate, to take this committee out on the road to 3 rural locations and also have hearings in the metro area in the Capitol building, which is very convenient for most folks, in the metro area. So when you talk about openness, we have tried our best, I think, at least the chairman has, to take us on the road, unlike the Senate, to have more hearings, unlike the Senate, to have more openness, discussion, testimony from minority groups and other folks, and a very open mind and a very open gavel. So with that, mine was posted on April 23rd, so by saying mine hasn't had scrutiny is ridiculous. It's the first one out on the table. It was the first one public. It's the first one to be scrutinized. To this plan, it doesn't reflect reality. Reality is that 45% of the state's population lives in the suburbs. Under your plan, they get 25% of the seats, 2 seats, roughly. Commonalities of interest, I mean, we can talk about Frogtown and North Oaks, we can talk about all the other things that have been reiterated already. I'm not going to get into that because I think that's just obvious. If you take a look at how the 3rd District is separated, you've got, I hope there's a bridge going across there somewhere. I think there is on 35, because you're barely keeping the district together. And you look at how strangely shaped the 3rd District is, and then take a look at the 6th. How interesting Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center are in with Denmark Township, way over on the other side, and Hastings, way over on the other side of the district. If we really wanted to enhance minority opportunity, wouldn't we have put Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center in with Minneapolis and take out Edina? Now, I think there might be some other motivations behind that. I'm not going to get into what they might be. But if we really wanted to enhance minority opportunities, I think we probably would have flipped a few of those communities in and flipped a few communities out. What this map really does is it dilutes minority influence rather than enhancing it. It is an incumbent protection plan, and any legislator, court, or other unbiased and interested person would say we should be drawing these maps to reflect the demographic changes of the last 10 years, which is a migration to the suburbs, both from the rural area and the inner city, keeping communities of interest together, keeping a zero population deviation, compactness, and looking at some of these things. I mean, I've heard a Supreme Court justice say, I don't know how to describe pornography, but I know it when I see it. Take a look at the 3rd District, my friends. There's no doubt in my mind that the map that I have before the body really reflects what's happened the last 10 years. It has had more public scrutiny than any plan before the legislature or anyone else, because it has been out the longest. It has had more hearings than anything else. It has been scrutinized by both legislators and the public. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would just end with that and asking members to vote down the alternative.
Representative Mariani.
Well, Mr. Chair, I've been accused of a lot of things, but being accused of pornographic is a new one. This is a good plan. This is a good plan. It reflects good communities of interest, as I try to articulate in terms of reflecting the interests of rural Minnesota, as well as the uniqueness of the second and third ring suburban communities, as well as the uniqueness and the relationship between the inner ring suburbs in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I would certainly urge you to vote for it. Mr. Chair, I'd ask for a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested.
Thank
Any
you.
Further discussion? Not. The clerk will take the roll on the Mariani amendment to the amendment.
Olson.
No.
Abrams.
No.
Anderson.
Aye.
Boudreau.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Knobloch.
No.
Luther.
Yes.
Mariani.
Aye.
Pawlowski.
Yes.
Rippenberg.
No.
Seifert.
No.
Engelstad.
No.
There being five ayes and seven nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, if there aren't any other amendments, I'd request a roll call on the
roll
call
is requested
itself.
On the Seifert amendment. Any discussion?
On the amendment.
Not. Clerk will take the roll.
Paulson.
Aye.
Abrams.
Aye.
Anderson.
No.
Boudreau.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Knobloch.
Aye.
Luther.
No.
Mariani.
No.
Pawlowski.
No.
Rippenberg.
Aye.
Seifert.
Aye.
Engelstad.
Aye.
There being seven ayes and five nays, the Seifert amendment is adopted. The motion prevails, the Seifert amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mariani.
Chair, I'd like a roll call on the bill.
Roll call has been requested on the bill as amended. Any further discussion? Not. The clerk will take the roll.
Paulson.
Aye.
Abrams.
Aye.
Anderson.
No.
Don't leave us. Boudreau.
We have another
aye.
Bill.
Gray.
No.
We do.
Ron. Babla.
Aye.
Luther.
No.
Mariani.
No.
Pawlowski.
No.
Rippenberg.
Aye.
Seifert.
Aye.
Engelstad.
Aye.
There being seven ayes and five nays, the motion prevails. The bill is passed as amended. So the chair will move House File 2516. This is the legislative plan that will travel on its own, members. And I would move the A1 amendment. Is that right, Mr. Pender?
Mr. Chair, yes.
That would just substitute in the legislative plan on its own. Discussion on the amendment.
What is the amendment?
The amendment is just the legislative map on its own, Representative Anderson. So at some point we need to match up with the Senate. We're not sure what they're going to do. This is just to have two vehicles traveling so we can match up somehow. We can amend on the floor if needed.
A1.
Mr. Chair,
this would be the A1 amendment.
Is this the 2516 A1 amendment?
That is correct, Representative Knobloch. Any discussion on the amendment? Not all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 All is opposed?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Mariani.
Chair, I'd ask for a roll call on the bill.
Roll call has been requested on the bill. Any discussion? If not, the clerk will take the roll.
Paulson.
Aye.
Abrams.
Aye.
Anderson.
No.
Boudreau.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Knobloch.
Yes.
Luther.
No.
Mariani.
No.
Pelosi.
No.
Riffenberg.
Aye.
Seifert. Aye. Tinglestad.
Yes.
There being seven ayes and five nays, the bill is passed as amended.
Are we meeting adjourned?
Our meeting is adjourned. Hopefully we're not meeting anymore.